Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Oh, happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Sports Talk, here we go on a Friday afternoon. We got everybody here. Michael Plundo, Adrian Broaddus, Cade McConnell, Alberto Urueta. Is Zay Galindo here too?
Probably on his way.
Probably so. Wouldn't be surprised. Looking forward to it today. 2 hours plus with you. Story time with Hags a little bit later. The first debut, the official debut of Cade McConnell's brand new weekly segment. You got to be jacked about this, aren't you?
Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, I've been here for, I think it's coming up on a year that I've been with you guys. Not officially intern, but since I started coming and being in the studio, it's been about a year. We've gotten to do a lot of cool things. Oftentimes just coming in here and talking sports with you guys, talking UTEP football. But now Talking Under Center is its official segment sponsored by the Oscar Arieta Agency. I could not be more excited. It's going to be really fun.
I can't wait. Also, that's going to be live in about 15 minutes. And by the way, this is your baby, just so you know. Like, we're all going to be here listening. I mean, if you need us to jump in, we'll jump in. But you got to realize something, man. You do this just like we do. It's a segment is what you're going to have. And we want you to just have fun with it. So as far as we're concerned, we're just planning on sitting back, listening, enjoying, and just watching you in action.
Well, it's going to be really fun. We've already said it before. Gavin Hardison is going to be our guest, my former teammate at UTEP. And, you know, we're as close as can be. And so it's going to be a lot of fun just to go and talk to him. But at the same time, guys, I do want you to jump in, ask some questions, have fun with it, because that's what makes this show awesome is all of us being here. So, yes, it's going to be a lot of fun, but I hope you guys are here with me too.
Will you be mad if we just kind of enjoy the show and listen to you do it, basically like the first quarter of the FIU game? You just kind of sit back, relax, air out a couple of 80-yard bombs, and that's the way it goes.
If you're asking me if I'm going to be mad if you guys sit back and relax while I talk to one of my closest friends, no, I'm not. I'm not going to be mad at you for that.
All right, appreciate that. That sounds good. Adrian, do we have an intro for this segment? Do we have all that stuff yet or no?
We should. We should get an intro. I'll work on that for the next time around. That's a great idea. We got to get that happening.
Well,
most definitely.
What kind of music you want? What kind of music theme do you want to start this segment off?
I'm going to have to think about it, but something upbeat, right? It's got to be something.
Well, just name a song and we'll play it for you, and then I'll even voice it, and I'll say something like, welcome back to, now this is going to be called Talking Under Center, right?
Correct.
Talking Under Center with your host, Cade McConnell. And then you can just take the lead, go from there. We'll give you like a live segment intro. So do you know what song you
I like
want?
That. No, Steve, I don't. You can't put me on the spot.
Can
like
you just
that.
Think about walk it during up, the break?
Walk up, well, maybe. But walk up songs are sacred. You can't just throw me one like that and then be like, okay, pick it. Those are important.
That's true. What's your number one song that you feel like when you're listening to it, it always makes you feel good? What song?
Chicken Fried by Zach Brown Band. That's my song right
Chicken
there.
Chicken Fried, Zach Brown Band. Adrian, cue it up. That'll be our song for
okay.
the segment.
Do you know what song I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
That is so disappointing. Alberto, you know?
Hang on, Alberto. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, good. It's just that's.
I know Zach Brown's country. I get that. I know that.
You
so.
Know what I'm talking. And a little bit of chicken fried.
All right, that sounds good. Does it have a good start with some music, or does he start singing right in the beginning of the song?
No, it has a little bit of music at the start.
Perfect,
but it gets into some words pretty quick.
All right, well we'll play it out of the gate. And I know Gavin loves country music too, doesn't he?
Oh, of course.
The pride of Hobbs, New Mexico. I'm sure that's something he's big into.
That's right. When we golf, that's what we're listening to.
Country. Oh, really?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Anyway, that sounds good. Perfect. So we'll have that coming up here in just a little bit. Excited about that. Hey, by the way, did we find out who took on the winning bid yesterday for guest hosting Sports Talk?
We still haven't found out, Steve. 11 bids yesterday on us. Yeah. I'm just excited that somebody actually bid on us yesterday.
I am too. And by the way, when I heard the total, which I'm not going to share on the air because we don't need to brag. But
no,
we should.
We should.
No, no,
I wrote
no.
it in my story.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's hilarious. I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, no, we won't talk about it. I woke up this morning and I had this text and it said, like, it's not too late to bid on, and it was all the items from yesterday's silent auction because I had registered during the show just to kind of keep tabs on the 600 ESPN El Paso guest host Sports Talk for a day, right? 11 bids. We finished, the winning bid was just shy of $3 bills.
Wow.
So we were really happy about that. And we decided, like, whoever won that contest and is going to do it, We want to do it right. Like, we want to treat them to lunch with us and the whole crew. And then after that, maybe we have a Chihuahuas game that night and they can have our seats and go sit there. Like, we want to make this a really big deal for whoever won this contest.
They're going to really feel like they were one of you two for the day, huh? They're going to go out to where you would go to lunch. They're going to do what you do in the studio. And then we're going to get into maybe some Chihuahuas baseball, which would be really cool to do.
That's right. That is right.
So do they get to be the guests for the entire show? Do they get to guest host it for the entire show? How does that work?
I don't care. If they want to spend 3 hours with us one day, let them. I mean, that sounds great to me. So, yeah, whatever they want to do. Like, here's the beauty of these kind of prizes, right? I mean, if you're going to spend that kind of money for charity and want to be a part of us, we had 11 bids, which means, you know, either somebody's like was interested in that. Well, I want them to feel like what they just won is priceless. Like, there is no actual value of what they won. So if they want to just spend the whole show that day with us, knock them out. Let's do it.
That's awesome. That sounds fun. Maybe I was your silent. No, do you guys know already who it was?
We have no idea who won.
Could have been me.
It could have been you.
Could have been.
It's very possible it could have been you.
Could have been Esteban again.
You know what? That's also very possible. It could have been, then he'll gift it for a second time to Pinky or somebody else he knows.
Hopefully it wasn't Gator Richard.
Why?
Actually, that would be fun. Never mind. I take it back. That would be awesome. And I would appreciate it if it was Gator Richard too.
I'll say this. No matter who won that prize, I'm happy. Because the money is going to the ANA All the Way Foundation. It's a great cause. They're just wrapping up their free football and basketball camps right now out at Burgess High. And, hey, that's terrific stuff.
It was. I was actually there last night. I was there with Adrian. Just missed you, Steve. But it was a really cool event. I had a great time watching it.
Good.
And I feel like going out there to Southwest Park, which is always a great spot to be, and being able to watch all those guys. Alvin came upstairs and was saying hi to Adrian and I. And he knew who I was. He watched the games last year, which was pretty cool.
Awesome.
And so events like that are just really cool to be around, so I appreciate Adrian throwing me a ticket at last second.
That's good.
And getting to be there. It was a cool event.
I would have liked to have stuck around, but last night Jim Ward played Cool Canyon Nights. I went out to McKelligan Canyon for about the first time in God knows how many years. It was a gorgeous night for concert, which means it was a gorgeous night for the softball game. No matter what, it was perfect. By the way, did anybody jack any balls over the fence, the real fence, not the fake fence? The real fence.
Yes, during the home run derby, Steve, there were some good ones. But we said that some of those guys who were playing were really good. Like, these guys probably play week in, week out
yep.
for some men's softball leagues or stuff like that. There were some excellent players. I apologize to the winner. I don't remember his name who won the home run derby, but he was swagged out. He had a nice pink long sleeve shirt, and he was jacking home runs left and right.
So he wasn't. Was he one of the guys that was playing in the game itself?
Yes. Yeah, he was also playing in the game.
I believe he was the one who dove headfirst into home.
That's correct.
When there was no play at home.
Oh, my God.
And then had his feet go up in the air a little bit, a little scorpion action. It looked like some spinal damage, but I hope he's okay.
I was going to say that he's one of those, huh? Sliding headfirst when there's not even a play at home. That sounds fantastic.
Full sprint, too. Full sprint.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, good for him. That's good. Who won the game?
Team Aaron, back-to-back years.
Really?
15-13 was the finish. Showtime was the winner. It was funny, Steve. Team Vino, they had the lead going into, I think it was the third inning, and a big lead, too. But you know how these softball games go. Once you get one run going, momentum starts to build for one team. Aaron's team rallied back. They tied it up, and then third inning, they won it. So, yeah, they took home the crown for back-to-back seasons.
Man, you know what it is, though? I got to play with Alvin's team next year because I'm going to tell you this. I don't play to lose. I play to win. And normally when I play slow pitch softball, we're always winning. So I feel like if they need a little extra shot in the arm to make sure they don't choke one away, I'll be more than happy to play next year and try to guide them to a win.
A little ringer. I like it.
I just want to see them. I just want to see them win a game. I mean, it's embarrassing not throw in two against Aaron's team. That should not be happening.
I told Adrian last night, and I mean this in simply a competitive way, and now that you've said that, I have to throw it out there. If for some reason I was playing in that game yesterday or next year, I would train. I would be at the cages.
No doubt.
At nighttime.
No doubt.
And I hope that I would be on the other team as you, Steve. and I want to show you that I'd be the best player on that field, and I want to jack home runs like that guy from the Home Run Derby.
Listen, I would be 52 years old if I played next year, and I could care less about my age. I would go out there just trying to beat everyone's ass. I mean, that's my attitude. That's
basically,
that's why I, that's for me, that's the problem. That's why I don't play much anymore, because I am super competitive when it comes to certain sports, and when it comes to slow pitch softball, our media team won 4 straight championships back in the day, and we all played to win. And people hated us. They didn't even play with us because they knew there was a very good chance we were going to beat them and beat them badly. Nobody enjoyed that back in the days. All we did was show up and win. So, yeah, it's like I haven't played in forever, but if I go back out there again, it's not going to take long for the competitive juices to start flowing again and realize I'm going to win. I'm not showing up there to have fun. I want to go get a victory.
How would sports talk be the next day after us two were on opposing teams?
Ice bath.
Just be unbelievable.
From an ice bath.
It'd be what?
It'd be from an ice bath.
Yeah, well, that would probably be the case. But it would be fun. I mean, now let me say this. I watched some of those guys try to swing a bat yesterday, and it was embarrassing. And I kept thinking to myself, God, what if that's me now? Like, there would be nothing worse than going up there thinking you can just jump right back into it again and bring it right back to the way it was. And then you realize you're like, uh-oh, age is finally starting to catch up, and this is not pretty. So that's the only downside to the situation is you got to really, you have to make sure that if you're able to go play, you don't want to embarrass yourself. You got to do it the right way.
I agree.
You're fine. You are in the prime peak of your athletic career. Early 20s, everything's going for you. You've got, you've got exactly where you want to be. I'm the opposite. I'm thinking that suddenly for me, I feel like it's still 1998 if I'm going out there. And that's the other issue is it's not 1998 anymore. It's 2024. So big difference.
There's only one thing that you have that I don't, Steve, and that is dad strength. You have the dad strength, and it's slow pitch softball. It's just meant for it, and I don't got it.
And I've developed the dad bod in years too, so that's also fantastic. I don't know how much that would go to my disadvantage or not, but yeah, that's the other issue is that yeah, I might have dad strength, but I'm also rocking the dad bod right now, and that's not exactly something I'm thrilled about. But I've noticed that those jerseys have some room for them, some room to give, so that would be great. But I'm just telling Alvin right now for next year. If you want to finally beat your brother, let me know. Be more than happy to try to make sure that that happens. Because if I'm on that team, I will do everything in my power to make sure that showtime is no time next year when that game is being played. I'll just leave it at that.
That's fair. I'm looking forward to see Steve's competitive side.
Yeah. Does he have to win? I mean, maybe that's the thing, Steve. Aaron's got to win. It's Aaron, right?
Like, no!
Alvin's
not
just taking a bad ride.
This is not the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. No, no, no. This is not a staged game. These are games for fun, celebrity games. But no, and by the way, Alvin had a really good roster yesterday.
He did.
He had a stacked. That roster was built to win.
He had an NBA draft pick on his roster.
I know. How did Tristan do?
He did great, man. He actually had a great he was playing first base at one point, and he caught a nice pop fly that was just like in his area. I was thinking there's no way he's catching it under the lights, and he found a way to catch it. So
oh,
it was
that's
impressive.
Awesome. Good for him.
Good defense.
That's good. Alberto, did you have a good time watching the game? Did you go out there and watch it too last night?
Yeah, I had a good time. And this person that sat next to me, they got a basketball sign. So I was excited for them, yeah.
All right, look. This has been fun to start the show. I've enjoyed this. But we have Talking Under Center coming up next. Are you ready for your debut segment here on Sports Talk?
Oh, very excited. Can't wait for it.
All right. It's coming up right after Charlie Wan, who has this traffic update for us. It's the first ever episode of Talking Under Center on 600 ESPN El Paso. And here to take you through Talking Under Center is your host, Cade McConnell.
We're back with the first segment ever of this. Thank you to the Oscar Arrieta Agency for sponsoring this segment. I'm so excited about the Win the West contest they're going to be doing with the Oscar Arrieta Agency. Let's start off this segment by jumping out to our hotline and welcoming in Gavin Hardison, former UTEP quarterback and current Miami QB. Gavin, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk to you, brother. It's been a minute. I know you were back out in the Sun City last weekend, but I missed you. Was it nice to be back in El Paso for a little bit?
Yeah, it was. It was good. I had a good time and got to go to a Chihuahuas game, which was fun. And, yeah, enjoyed it.
That's awesome. I know I missed you a little bit out there. We've talked about how we need to get back out on the course. But before we get to start talking about golf and some of those other fun things, I am so excited to ask you about what's been going on out there across the country in Miami. First, before we get there, though, I do want to talk about your draft day process because you haven't gotten to really share how that went. Tell us the story about draft day. What happened? You know, was it emotional? Was it a roller coaster? Or was it pretty straightforward?
It was pretty up and down. You know, I thought that there was certain teams that were going to end up picking me. It didn't happen that way, which is totally okay. Everything happens for a reason, and I'm fortunate enough and blessed enough to be out in Miami with the Dolphins, and I'm super super happy and super blessed that they gave me the opportunity.
So you get the call. You get to go out to Miami. It's a whole lot hotter there, more humid. Maybe not as dry, but definitely wet and humid like we experienced back at FIU last year. Just kind of tell me about your first couple days out there. I mean, that must have been at least a little bit of a shock. You know, everything we've done out here in West Texas, and then you fly across the country. You're in a completely new environment with a new team. Just talk about, you know, a little bit of your first experiences out there in Miami.
Out there, and you know, the other rookies that are there and that we signed are extremely cool people and extremely good teammates, and so it made the whole process easier. And the coaches there are awesome, and you know, Coach Mike and Coach Bevel, my QB coach, Coach Bevel, he's been awesome. I mean, he's been helping me a lot on learning the system and bringing me along. But yeah, it was an adjustment with the humidity and stuff, but they take care of us really well, so it wasn't too bad.
Was it as wet and as sweaty as it was out there when we were playing last year against FIU?
It was pretty close. You know, we're fortunate to practice on grass, so it's not near as hot because the turf at FIU is it's a pretty hot place to play.
Out there in Miami, we went out there one time. I mean, you were so excited to go last year, but enjoying the town of Miami, being outside of the facility. I know you spent hours upon hours inside the hotel room and at the facility, you know, staying in there, trying to soak up every little thing that you could. But when you did get a chance to get outside the facility, did you enjoy Miami for what it is and what it gets talked about?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a unique place and something that is very new to me, but you know, it's nice to be close to the beach and be able to go there. And I know that's something that you enjoy back home is going to the beach. But yeah, it's cool to kind of have a look, some getaway time and enjoy yourself.
No doubt. All right, I want to ask you a little bit more about some QB-specific stuff. That's the stuff you know I get excited about, and we've talked on the phone about it a little bit. But, you know, you, Gavin, you've taken more snaps under center and behind center than almost anybody in college football, you know, at the college level. You've had so many starts, one of the top starts in UTEP history. You know exactly what it means to play college quarterback, but I would like you to expand and talk a little bit about that jump from college to the NFL, because, you know, there's a lot of things people talk about, you know, being under center more man coverage. But can you break down a little bit from your experience, you know, so fresh and so new, what it was like going into training camp, getting a brand new offense, and how the NFL schematically and maybe just atmosphere wise is a different brand of football?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely faster paced. You know, you're playing against guys that have been doing it for a long time, and I'd say the mental aspect is more challenging, and just, you know, like I said, like the people you're playing against are just so experienced and so good at what they do. That's why it's so hard to get there and stay there. And so It's been an adjustment, but you know, I think learning a new system for the first time in like 5-6 years was a big adjustment for me, especially our system. Our system is it's a great system, and it works really well. Obviously, if you've seen with the past years with the Miami offense, they've been pretty dominant, and so it's challenging to learn, but you know, just got to spend the time, and it comes.
What makes this offense so special, Gavin? It's very different than a lot of the other offenses in the NFL, mm-hmm. and you've had a chance like to be immersed in that and to see kind of the genius behind Coach and how he operates and Tua and how he runs the offense. What makes this offense special?
Yeah, it's just, you know, everyone executing their responsibility to extremely high level, and, you know, you have a ton of playmakers on the offensive side and in Miami, and it's been fun to be a part of and see and learn from. You know, Tua is an amazing quarterback, and it's been really cool to see how he operates and see you know, how he plays the position and try to pick things up. And also Mike White and Skylar Thompson, they've also been really awesome to me, and they're really good quarterbacks as well, and they've all been extremely good about helping me. And And so, you know, the offense, it just, you have to know your responsibility and execute your responsibility at an extremely high level.
You're listening to the debut of Talking Under Center. I'm Cade McConnell, and my special guest is Gavin Hardison. As we continue, Gavin, one of the things, too, that I wanted to talk to you about is how our quarterback room at UTEP, I mean, is about as close as family as you could get. I know I texted all you guys the other day, and in 2022, when we first came in there, you know, I don't think I could have asked for a better QB room around me. So I don't know if it gets better than that, but as far as Tua, Mike White, Skylar Thompson, how have those guys, you know, been in the room with you? How's the chemistry with them?
Oh, really, really good. And, you know, it's really nice to have been a part of really good QB rooms and really a bunch of really good guys and really good teammates. And, you know, it makes showing up every day even more fun. You know, playing the game of football is a whole lot of fun, but whenever you enjoy the people that you're spending a lot of time with at the facility, enjoy spending time with those people, it makes it even more worthwhile.
Have you had a chance to go outside of facility and hang out with those guys, or is that time more generally spent with a lot of the rookies that you're hanging out with, and they kind of group you up that way?
I mean, just a little bit of time, but, you know, mainly more with the rookies right now, and it's been really cool to kind of bond with them. And, you know, we've had certain events, and, you know, we've gone to dinner and gone to Topgolf on, like they posted the other day of us at Topgolf. And, you know, it's been fun to hang out with those guys outside of football. And, you know, the time that you spend outside of football, believe it or not, it does reflect on the field. The better you know your teammates and the more closer you guys are, the better chemistry and all that stuff you'll have whenever you actually play.
Gavin, one of the things that has not been talked about enough and has been understated of how special it is that you took an absurd amount of snaps as a college quarterback behind center of Andrew Meyer, and now he's there, also signed with the Miami Dolphins with you. You know, have you guys got to be on the field together and taken reps? Because, you know, one of the most special things in football is the relationship and the chemistry between quarterback and center. You know, everyone said that's the first exchange of the ball and that's the most important pass on the field. You know, I know how close you and Andrew have been. I know how close you guys have gotten over the years. What has it been like being in training camp with him throughout this whole process?
Yeah, it's awesome, you know, being able to spend time with Andrew and play with him. And, you know, yeah, we have had some reps together in training camp and stuff like that, and it was really cool. And it's a comforting feeling, and it gives you confidence whenever you know that the Q center exchange is going to be on point, and you know where he's snapping the ball, and you have that feeling, and it's like riding a bike. And so it's really cool and really unique that we both ended up the same spot, and it's been fun to be able to hang out with him and continue the journey.
When we get back, I want to talk about some of our former UTEP teammates some more, but we're going to send this to a break. You are listening to the debut of Talking Under Center. I'm Cade McConnell with Gavin Hardison. Let's get this SportsCenter update from Michael Plundo. Of Talking Under Center. Let's continue with Gavin Hardison. So, Gavin, we left off talking about Andrew Meyer. How do you feel like his development has been, you know, at the beginning of camp? You know probably better than anyone. You're standing right behind him. You're seeing how he's doing. How do you feel like he's taken on everything?
I think he's doing a really good job. And, you know, Andrew's, one thing about Andrew is he showed on Pro Day that he's extremely athletic and can do everything you want at center. But he's also extremely smart. He's extremely football smart, and he's smart off the field as well. But he's doing really well in his progression, and I'm happy for him.
Awesome. All right. For this next little bit, I'm going to rapid fire a couple of our former teammates, guys that have gone to the NFL that played with us last year. I want you to give me a couple sentences of what you think that their play style and what they bring to the NFL, whether they've been signed or drafted, whether you played with them maybe a couple years ago or you played with them last year. Just give me something that you think about them and how they're going to do. So let's start it off with our boy Tyrese Knight, linebacker who we played with last year, who got drafted in the fourth round of the Seahawks. Tell me a little bit about T. Knight and how you think he's doing in camp.
I'm sure T. Knight's doing really well. You know, T. Knight just seems like playing against him in practice, and he just—I feel like he always just seems to be in the right place at the right time. And you know, he sees the flow of what's going on offensively so well, and he reacts. And you know, he can play the run game. He can get in the pass game. He's extremely athletic, and so I'm sure that he's doing a really good job.
Awesome. Let's move on. Zuri Henry, offensive lineman, signed with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm sure Zuri's doing a great job as well, and you know, he's a smart player and played a lot of games with Zuri, and you know, he's a battler, and he's a great player and a great teammate, super good teammate and a great guy, and so I'm sure he's doing really well with the Patriots.
Somebody else who's, you and I know this as well as anybody, one of the greatest teammates to ever exist, Elijah Klein, drafted in the last round of the draft by the Buccaneers in the sixth round. What do you think Elijah's looking like right now?
I know Elijah's doing a great job, and you know, I know that he's, you know, having a blast and playing really well and playing with confidence, and so, you know, I'm excited to see what he does with Tampa, and you know, I'm super happy for all the guys that are getting the opportunity, and I'm sure that he's doing a fantastic job.
When Eli was with us at UTEP, he moved around the line a little bit. Have you gotten to talk to him while he's been in camp, and do you know if he's, you know, at guard predominantly still, or have they moved him around a little bit?
I'm not sure where they have him or what they have him doing, but I do know that he's doing the. He's been doing a good job, and he's enjoying it up there. And you know, I'm sure wherever position they have him in, that he'll learn that position and get it done at a high level.
To some people maybe who have just watched, you know, started watching UTEP football in the last couple years, maybe don't know this name, but for anybody who's seen it past 2022 and 2021 and before, Jacob Cowing, your former teammate who transferred to Arizona, got taken in the fourth round as well. Talk about Jacob and him as a player and why you think he's going to be so special in the NFL.
He has all the tools to get it done. And, you know, he's a really smart player, and, you know, I really enjoyed the time that I got to play with Jacob, and you know, I know that he's doing a good job, and I know that, I mean, his route running ability and his speed and the ability to catch the ball and go, and you know, it's fun to watch, and you know, it was cool to watch him play it at Arizona and do his thing, and I'm sure he's just picking up right where he left off.
Absolutely. I think one thing that does not get talked about enough is how many guys we just had from this last team that actually ended up either signed to a team or drafted in a team. And there's a lot of Power 5 schools around the nation that don't even have close to the amount of numbers that we just had. Five guys from our team last year ended up in the NFL. And if you want to include Jacob Cowing in that recruiting class, I mean, that's pretty special, and that says something. So I'm so excited myself to be able to watch all those guys go do their thing in the NFL. I think it's going to be really fun. I hope all of you guys that are in camp are having super strong camps, and I think that the future is bright for you. One thing I wanted to ask you too, Gavin, was in college, we just got the upgrade to where now we have iPads on the sidelines. We have mics in our helmet for next year, just like the NFL, and that's never happened before. So for the past, you know, a couple player leds and some of our practices in spring and things like that, you know, I've actually had a chance myself to experience having that mic in the helmet. I know that our signals and our signs are very condensed and very short here with the new coaching staff, high tempo, fast paced offense. Obviously very different in the NFL, but how has that transition been for you hearing those plays in the mic? And obviously they're extremely lengthy, so how do you study those at night? How are you able to grasp all that terminology? It's not easy.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one, you just got to, you know, be in the playbook and understand and know the formations and the motions and where everyone's supposed to line up, and then understand like the concepts that are there, or the run game that's there, and be able to picture it, and then be able to say it fluently in the huddle. You know, I one thing that you know I do is the voice memo thing on your iPhone or your Apple device. I use that a decent amount. I'll say the play, and then I can listen to it, and then try to repeat it and try to mimic. Getting the play in my ear as close as I can. But I think it just comes with practice and repetition. And, you know, I think it's unique, and it's pretty cool that people are going to get to start using that in college. And I think that the iPad thing is going to help out significantly, because you're going to be able to see, you know, things that you might not have seen or your eyes were somewhere else or something like that. And so when you get to the sideline, you can kind of see what the defense is trying to do, what their game plan is in the middle of the game.
Gavin, I've had an awesome time catching up with you. I got one more question for you. Has it sank in yet, man? I mean, you've taken it from peewee to middle school football to high school football. You've played JUCO. You've played Division I FBS football, and you are at the highest level now with a team that is a force to be reckoned with in the NFL. Has it set in? I'm on the Miami Dolphins, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. It's obviously a super, super big blessing, and, you know, I thank Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for that. And, you know, he's been there throughout this whole thing, and, you know, I'm just trying to put my faith in him, and everything's worked out, and you know, I'm just trying to put my best foot forward every single day. And yeah, it's unique, and it's pretty cool to see some guys that you've grown up and watched on TV and watched play for so long, and be able to see them live and pick their brain and just kind of learn from their game and learn how you can apply and get better and help the team that you're on win games.
Awesome, Gavin. Thank you so much for getting on and for catching up. I appreciate you, brother. I can't wait to see you out here in El Paso again soon, and this time I'm going to make sure that you see me. I'm not letting you slip through the cracks. So I appreciate you come on here. It was awesome to hear it, and it was a great ever first segment with you. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Anytime, man. I enjoyed it. You always do a great job, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Gav. I'll see you soon, brother, all right?
Yep, sounds good.
Sounds good. You are listening to the debut of Talking Under Center. I'm Cade McConnell. We'll send it to a break.
48 past the hour as we continue. What a great debut that was with Talking Under Center and Cade McConnell, brought to you by the Oscar Idietti Agency. Thank you, Cade. You gained a sponsor during that segment, believe it or not.
How cool is that?
That's never happened before, but now as you are delivering that segment, Wind Supply El Paso wants to jump on board with you.
Everybody over at Wind Supply El Paso, and that's awesome. I've never even heard of that before, but shout out to Renee and Wind Supply El Paso. Love everybody over there. They're awesome.
Oh, it doesn't happen. What just happened right now
never
with you
happens.
Never happens. We never get texts from clients in the middle of a segment saying they want to sponsor somebody. It's unprecedented. So You are setting the new standard at this radio station.
I'm glad I could have a first at this radio station because I feel like everything under the sun has already happened in this place. And so for to be a first of anything, I feel like is pretty special.
Well, we're excited too. So anyway, I feel like Talking Under Center is going to continue to grow. The fun part for you is going to be picking out different people to interview every week.
Yeah, actually, I've already talked to a few people, and I think I got some ones lined up for the coming weeks. Although,
good.
I will say, I will not be here next week. That is the last week. I leave tomorrow to go home for a week. It is the last time that I will get to go home before December. So when we come back, it's all business for UTEP football.
Excellent. And then you'll be back probably, what, July the 8th?
Is that the Tuesday?
July the 9th.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going on vacation, which means maybe you can hang out with the boys and get a little extra time on the show.
I like that. Well, maybe we'll take up some time on the show with another segment of Talking Under Center.
We need, now that it's sponsored, we have to have another segment of Talking Under Center. That's the whole point.
I like that.
All right.
I'm just very impressed. I mean, Steve, we have a really talented nucleus of people. Like, you know, it's Cade's segment right here, a reflection of everybody, the hard work. Alberto puts it in. Michael puts it in. Zay, Sal. We got just a really, really talented team on this station.
I will say this. Nobody outworks us as a radio station. Nobody. They don't outwork us. This is a team of hustlers, grinders, and people that just want to get it done.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm very proud of that. Like, I think that's a really cool thing. Like, we've had a lot of really good additions of 600 ESPN El Paso. Right now is a really strong time.
Yeah,
it is.
I agree.
Here's one thing, too, is like, you know, Michael, Zay, Alberto, like, you know, we don't all go talk and hang out a ton outside of the radio station, but I cannot tell you how much I love coming in and being around all you guys. You know, Steve, Adrian, I talk to you guys a lot outside of here, you know, text, call, see you around. But coming in here, like the nucleus that's in here, I love coming into this radio station every single time I walk through those doors.
Well, we love having you. And you keep getting better and better, so keep that up. And it's exciting for us. It's interesting because sometimes we have to realize, oh, wait a minute, he still has a day job. Yeah, he is a student athlete at UTEP, a scholarship athlete who is planning to be that starting quarterback again here in a couple of months when the 2024 season begins.
That's the one thing that I love coming into the radio station. I had so much fun doing that segment right there. But Steve, like you said, the number one thing, we had our last little player-led practice today before we go on break, and I cannot tell you how excited I am for this football season. I looked at one of our wide receivers after the practice, and I was like, I just can't wait to go play football. I need a helmet, I need shoulder pads, and I need fans, and I need to go play that sport.
Good. I'm happy for you because I picked up a copy of the Phil Steele College Football Preview, and they picked you tied for sixth right now out of 10 teams. There's three teams tied for sixth. So that's where he has UTEP right now. So I feel like this will be one of those seasons where you guys can go in and people are not going to expect much. You'll have a chance to try to prove everybody wrong.
The message from Coach Walden today as we were going on break was, we're all we got, we're all we need, and don't wait for everybody else to start believing because they ain't going to come. The believers aren't going to come until you make them. And so stop waiting for everybody else to hop on the bandwagon and start making it and pave the way yourself and go get it done. We don't need everybody else. We just need the guys that are in this locker room, and that's going to be plenty to go forward.
The truth is that when you win, fans will hop back on the bandwagon. That's what happens. That's just the norm. So when you guys take care of business on your end, you'll start to see everything happen from there.
No doubt. I remember the energy walking in my very first game in 2022 of North Texas, where we sold out our first game. There was a lightning delay, you know, about an hour. So then some people left and the game didn't go our way against North Texas, and it dissipated from there. But I know what it looks like to have a packed out Sun Bowl, and I know what it looks like for UTEP to be excited. And we got to find a way to win some games. That way this town and this city can stay excited through the whole 12 games.
That's right. That's a good way to put it, and that's 100% correct. And funny now that you're starting to get players committing for the class of 2025. people that were in town during the spring game who have taken their recruiting trips and before their season starts for their senior year in high school are already right now committing to play for the minors.
It's one of the things that I've become much more cognizant of over my time of being at UTEP is the constant process of recruiting. A lot of people don't understand that recruiting is almost a 24-hour job in itself with coaching, and that's probably one of the reasons why I said I don't know if I could be a college Division I college football coach, because those coaches are constantly out there trying to find guys to come in and make this program better. And you're exactly, we're seeing it. We're seeing guys that have transferred in. We're seeing guys out of high school that are signing in 2025, and it's all, you know, in the efforts to load up this team to make an arsenal for the next years to come and be conference champions.
Can't wait. All right, one down. We've got about an hour and 15 minutes to go. Cade's going to stick around for a little bit. We'll keep that moving as Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.
Property Schoolyard Sports Studio. Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Along with Alberto Dueta, Michael Plundo, Cade McConnell, we got a full house here today as we begin hour number two on Sports Talk. Coming up here in a couple hours, boxing at the ballpark, the pro boxing card returning to Southwest University Park. Should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to that as well. We just finished our first Talking Under Center, hosted by Cade McConnell with special guest Gavin Hardison. If you missed it, don't worry, we'll have you covered on 600 ESPN El Paso On Demand, wherever you listen to Sports Talk here from any episode. The beauty is you can hear it live, relive it on 600 ESPN El Paso On Demand. Or if you ever miss part of the show or a full show, don't worry. We post those regularly, and we'll have you covered no matter what. And that's really what it's all about. 505-6009, our telephone number, as we continue with the show. And looking forward to talking more about everything going on in the world of sports. Adrian, you mentioned the A&A All the Way Foundation charity celebrity softball game yesterday. It seems like our whole crew was out there. Give me some more of the highlights from yesterday. I know Tristan Newton was given a huge ovation.
Yeah, I think that's where I want to start, because having Tristan Newton in attendance last night, I don't think people understood, and credit to Colin Deaver, who was the MC of the field yesterday. He was able to get like a one-on-one interview with Tristan Newton pretty early into the game and everything itself. So you got a standing ovation from Tristan Newton. Everybody excited. He had the Indiana Pacers hat, so he's wearing the Indiana Pacers hat, which was really cool. We got a chance to see him in the West Star Club, Steve. Don't ask how. He would take a little break in between the game, come up the West Star Club, say hi to everybody, and go back down when it was his turn to bat or whatever. Maybe go back down there before the inning would actually switch over. So
that's cool.
Tristan Newton is having a great time with all the people, everybody congratulating him. It looked like he had all his family in attendance. Remember, he's the cousin of Aaron and Alvin Jones, which is cool in itself. And I was talking to Alvin and Cade about this, about Tristan. Alvin has connections in Indiana, and he is so happy that he's going to be able to go to Indianapolis whenever he wants to watch Tristan Newton. So just like Alvin is the number one fan of Aaron Jones, Alvin's going to definitely be one of the top fans of Tristan Newton over with the Pacers.
So I texted Ryan Carr last night, who was a former UTEP assistant basketball coach under Jason Rabideau and spent his last season here with Billy Gillespie that first year. And I just simply said to Ryan, so proud of you for taking Tristan. And then I got a response early this morning that said the following: he was the best player on the board, and we have liked him for a couple of years. Winner. And that was essentially Ryan's response to Tristan Newton. And love that. The fact that he's been on their radar for a couple of years, said he was the best player on their board, and just calling him a winner. I mean, that is, you know, that's ultimately what you would love to hear as the guy that runs their draft tries to. And remember, this was not an interview I'm giving Ryan. This is just texting a buddy. Hey, man, so excited that Tristan's on board with you. That's the response I was able to get.
Yeah, I love that response, especially how it closed with winner. It's true. back-to-back national champion, back-to-back national champion with the UConn Huskies, and graduate of Burgess High School, Tristan Newton, which is so neat, man. I you know, for him to even play in that game, I thought that was such a celebration of just all of what he's done, all of what he means to El Paso. I love the fact that he did, you know, interviews with people and stuff like that too. I mean, Tristan Newton, just a stand-up guy, great individual, and I'm so excited to see him play in the league.
How did Tristan do handling a softball bat?
Yeah, it was, you know what, I would say both the basketball guys, or all three of the basketball guys, throw John Bohannon in that conversation too, and KJ Lewis. They struggled. Let's stick to the basketball side of things for both those guys, or all those guys. However, when they were playing on defense, athletically, they hung in with everybody. They were throwing nice, they were throwing the ball nicely all around the field. They were also catching, like I was saying. Okay. Tristan Newton had a nice fielding play, with the team as well. So I would say defensively, they hung in there. Offensively, needed some work.
Did George Hill hit the softball?
Oh, I forgot. That's four NBA guys. He was balling out. And by the way, we just had somebody off air say that George Hill was about as nice and accommodating with fans as possible. George Hill was excellent when he joined us on the show yesterday.
Yes, he was.
And he would interact with fans in between the game, during the game, while he was hanging out in the dugout and stuff like that, and he really was trying to be as engaging as he could with the El Paso audience. He even gave some interviews as well and said how much he loves El Paso as a city, and then, of course, held his basketball camp along with the A&A All the Way Foundation today.
Perfect. Yeah, by the way, those camps, I'm sure, did very, very well. Almost 1,000 people, Cade, considering they run four camps. They run a basketball and football camp for the young ones, and then they run a basketball and football camp for the middle schoolers and high schoolers. So you talk about those four camps, 1,000 total kids. It's free. It's awesome.
It's really awesome. And to be able to help out that many kids and give them an experience that's really cool. I mean, those are the type of things as a younger kid that you don't ever forget. You go out to those things. Maybe you learn a little bit. Maybe you get better at your sport. Or maybe it's just an awesome experience to be around those kind of people. That's what it's all about.
Were you somebody that as you started playing more and more sports, whether it's football or baseball, you would try to get out and go to those summer camps?
Yeah, absolutely. As I got older and into high school, I started taking more advantage of those camps. And some of those were, you know, trying to get looked at by schools and colleges. But the number one thing that I learned about during all those camps was that it may not be exactly what you wanted. It may be a little bit different. And this is speaking to the older kids out there, you know, high school, middle school, high school kids. It may not be exactly what you envision sometimes, but you can always go out to those camps and learn something. Take something new away from a great coach that's out there, because that's who hosts these camps. They're really good, high-level coaches. There's usually somebody very high profile or somebody that knows a lot about that sport there. Go out there, have fun while you're doing it, and take something positive away from it.
Yeah, that's a great takeaway. It really is. And for a lot of those kids, I mean, look, it's very possible that in the next 3 or 4 years, we could see people coming out of those camps that have an opportunity to go play college ball and beyond. It's fun to think about that because, you know, you start to look at Aaron Jones. I think he mentioned that he went to the Ray Mickens camp when Ray was here putting those free camps together for many, many years. And that's when, you know, Aaron was in middle school and Alvin was in middle school. And I mean, now they're putting those same type of camps together for young kids. It's almost like they passed the torch. And now Alvin, Aaron, Will Hernandez, these are all individuals locally that are trying to give back. And I love that.
It's one of the ways that, you know, us athletes can do what we love and what we're best at, but also give back to the community in the way that we know how to.
Yep.
There's nothing that I know better than football, or how to teach a young kid football, or to be able to pass on that passion that I have to them. And you never know. You may be, you know, interacting with that one kid from the camp that experience is what sparked his love for football and took him from one step to the other. And it ultimately, you know, allowed him to love the sport the way that so many of us do. And then maybe they get to play on at a really high level in college or the pros. You never know.
Yeah.
Cade, did you ever go to camps like this when you were growing up?
When I was younger, I didn't attend as many camps. I was always, you know, because my dad was the coach and we were, you know, I played so many different sports.
Your dad was the camp.
Right, my dad was the camp. It was like, we're going out to the beach and we're having a camp right now. But dad, I don't know if I really want to go. Well, we're going to go throw the football anyway, or something like that. But I was always in so many sports that when I was younger, I didn't attend too many of the camps. But as I got older and tried to branch out and, you know, get some different things and reach some different minds, that's when I started going to the camps and got to soak in some cool things.
By the way, and I'll be on the beach of Southern California in about 3 or 4 weeks, so I'll ask you this question. Is there anything better than throwing a football on the beach?
No, there's not. Actually, I will say this. The only thing that bothers me as a quarterback about throwing the football on the beach is the combination of sometimes the ball's wet or sandy, and I don't have the best footing if you're in the sand. So it makes me feel weaker than when I am in cleats, obviously, on the turf. But as throwing the football, especially those little Nerf footballs, oh my goodness.
So should I – so because we have – okay, I think that happy you brought that up. We have Nerf footballs. We have, like, little mini leather footballs. What's the best ball for the beach to take when you're starting to throw a football on the beach?
The best one to take is that Nerf football.
Okay.
I don't care if it's the one that has, like, the little tail, like, rocket thing coming off the back that, like, whistles. Those are really fun. You know that we actually use those at 3DQB to train? Like,
really?
I'm talking, like, the highest level of training you can get as a quarterback. I'm talking C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, like, the same guys that coach those guys. To practice throwing deep balls and the trajectory of how we throw it to get air on the ball, we use those little baby Nerf balls that have the thing on the back and they whistle and spin, you know. We use those as training devices.
I love that.
So you can use those at the beach, or you could use just like the regular little Nerf football that has the little finger imprints in it instead of laces. You never grab that part, though. You grab the seam on the top of it. It's bigger. It's a cheat code, Steve, for
you. Good. Thank you for that. Thank you. Have you seen the new Nerf Turbo balls?
No, I
haven't. They're footballs that are like – it's almost – they're made with Nerf, but it's more of like a tougher outer shell.
Interesting.
We've got
I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. But take the small leather football or the Nerf football, either one.
Or go find that little mini one with the that makes the whistling sound and go throw that up there.
So fun, because you don't even have to throw it that hard to make it go far. So you could sit back in your chair, Steve, and throw it, and you could have Joel running and dive into the water, you know, jumping catch.
It sounds like a blast.
Oh, it's so good.
Are you more into footballs on the beach or frisbees?
Ooh, good question. I'm going to go with frisbee on this one just because it's different. It's different. I actually have to think a little bit when I'm throwing it. I can't just, you know, rip it. But my favorite game ever at the beach is spike ball, Steve. It's spike ball.
Really?
Do you know what spike ball is?
I've seen spike ball, but I've never had a chance to play spike ball.
In a 2-second description, it is volleyball. It's a 2v2 volleyball, but instead of hitting it over a net, you hit it onto the net. So you can, you know, pass that spike, right? And you do that onto the net instead of over the net, and you play 2v2 right there. Me and my friends, we get way too into it. It gets aggressive.
So when you say onto the net, you're trying to spike the ball on the net itself.
Correct. It is a circular, you know, probably 3-foot-ish by 3-foot net, 2.5, 3 foot. And, you know, you serve it onto the net and it bounces. And think of every time it hits and bounces off the net, it would be as if it went over the net in volleyball. Then you hit it, you know, you pass it to your partner, he sets it to you, you spike it, you hit it as hard as you can or something like that across over to the net. It bounces real high, and then the other team's got to go touch it and get it back onto the net. You miss the net, you don't get the point.
Have you bought a spike ball net with you to one of these parks in El Paso where you can go and just set it up in the grass and go play spike ball?
We have played spike ball in the weight room at the LKD.
Have you really?
We have.
I didn't know you could do that. That sounds like fun. You go check one of those spike ball matches out.
Yeah, we got to be careful in there, because, you know, it's not like you have ample space. But we start playing the rules where if it bounces off the wall, it's still live. So you get a little bit of obstacle course in there while you're playing, but it is a lot of fun.
And what kind of ball do we use for spike ball?
It's like around the size of a softball. But it's, you know, like just a blow up air rubber ball, rubber, but it's got air in it and stuff. So it's, trying to think of something that would be comparable to, but I don't really know.
Adrian, we need to take a spike ball set out to remotes and let people have a little fun playing spike ball at radio remotes.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of spike ball myself. Number one, because it's not like pickleball. Like, pickleball takes over your basketball courts, you know, your blacktops and stuff like that, and you're just taking up way too much space. And you know, no hate to the actual game of pickleball. It's fun. But as far as just taking up a lot of space, you do that. With spikeball, you could literally, like Kate is describing, play anywhere. Play at the beach, play at the park, play at the remote, like you're mentioning right now, at a live broadcast or something like that. It's definitely possible to do something there.
I feel like the four of you are too young for pickleball. Like, the minute you brought up the word pickleball, Alberto started going thumbs down without even saying anything. So I don't know. Maybe pickleball is a sport that's meant for...
Zay's got the two thumbs down, too.
People my age.
No,
I feel
Zay.
Like that's the case. I don't know.
Why are you thumbs downing, Zay?
Everybody's doing the thumbs down right
if
now.
If Zay's doing the thumbs down because he doesn't like pickleball, that means he hasn't played it. That's the first thing. And
pickleball is a blast.
It's a blast. And you know what? We're not too young for it because I get into it and I start slamming stuff and it's
competitive juices start to flow.
Oh, well, 100%. Do you want to go play, Steve?
Yeah, I'll play pickleball. Sure.
You will.
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
All right, maybe we'll take a trip down to the tennis club and play some pickleball.
Sounds like a winner to me. I like that. I'll play tennis too. Break out my racket.
No, you can play tennis?
I can play tennis.
No, I don't believe it.
You have a tennis racket?
Yes.
Let's go play tennis.
We need the sports gauntlet, and then we'll do golf after.
We'll go hit some balls.
Okay. Well,
sounds like fun.
Fine. Competitive juice is going to get flowing. I hope.
Atta baby.
I hope you don't get beat
can
by somebody.
Can you serve?
I can get it in the square. Yeah.
All right. Good. We'll play some tennis. Excellent. I like that. We'll get a little game going. More in a moment as we continue. 16 past the hour here on Sports Talk. But first, let's go to Charlie One to get ourselves a traffic update.
Out, but just where you see it at home plate, where you see it all across the diamond, it looks excellent. And the way that they're able to set up all the seats and all of that all around the ring, it just makes for a great atmosphere out at Southwest University Park.
It does. You know, I'm trying to think of some of the other fighters that, you know, came here with multiple, you know, like father sons, but they've all kind of fought here over the years. Just thinking about it, you know, if I'm not mistaken, and I have to double check this, I think that George Foreman's son fought here as well, and George fought here. So I have to go back and think about that for sure, but I'm almost positive that George Foreman's son, oh, you know what? I might be wrong. I think he fought at the Pan Am Center in Las Cruces rather than El Paso. So it's close, but not exactly right because George Foreman III fought at the Pan Am Center. His dad in 1971 fought at the Coliseum. One of George Foreman's first early fights was here as a heavyweight at the Coliseum.
I did not know that. It just speaks to the fighting tradition. And the fighting legacy that this town really has. I mean, El Paso's had some of the best fighters, the who's who of boxing or just in combat sports, come through here. So just to hear that kind of stuff is great. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was. It's an interesting story. It really is because he fought in September of 1971, and he knocked out William Victor Scott at the time. And I think he turned pro in 69, so it was definitely one of his early fights, but it was before he ended up, winning a world title. So he fought a lot before that at the Garden in New York, fought a little bit at the Spectrum in Philly and Inglewood at the Forum and some other places. But yes, there was a stop in El Paso along the way for Big George Foreman early in his career, which is a pretty cool storyline.
Yeah, I mean, I was just remembering, Steve, shout out Brandon Cohn. Somehow we got George Foreman to join us on Crunch Time a couple different times. It wasn't just one, but a couple different times. So just to hear him on this station, hear that he would play or fight here in El Paso is really cool stuff.
Brandon had a terrific relationship with George and had him multiple times over the years to talk boxing. Probably Brandon's biggest get when you start to think about all the names he had. But Big George developed a liking to Brandon, joined him quite often, and it was a very, very cool opportunity to listen to George when he was joining Brandon on Crunch Time.
Yeah, and he would always get him at very relevant times, and there'd be a big boxing fight, too, to get George Foreman's thoughts on those and stuff like that. So, excellent stuff. Love to talk to just these former boxers, Steve. Like, you know, that's a really cool thing in itself, right?
It really is. As we approach the bottom of the hour here on Sports Talk. All right, let's get ready to send it back to Michael Plundo. He's standing by, has this bottom of the hour Sports Center update. And when we come back, about 40 more minutes to go. If you want to talk some sports with us and get in on the show, 505-6009. That's our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you as we head into a busy weekend. It's 600 ESPN El Paso. We continue here on Sports Talk. How about the story that the Pelicans reportedly landed DeJounte Murray in a deal with the Hawks, per reports? It's a big story.
Big, big story, Steve. First off, it just tells us, number one, that the Trae Young, DeJounte Murray tandem is over. It only lasted, you know, 2 years. It was a very short stint between these two. They couldn't win at a high level. They missed the playoffs this past year. Atlanta gets the number one overall pick. And you could tell with Risha Shea going number one, you know, over to Atlanta, they're really going and probably committed to a rebuild. The big question is Trae Young also on the move? Do they want the full rebuild, or were they looking to just move, you know, DeJounte Murray? I hate the price. I can't believe there weren't other suitors out there who wanted to go for this one a little bit more. I feel like DeJounte Murray can make a real impact on the Pelicans.
Yeah, I feel like the Pelicans kind of stole him, don't you? They gave up Larry Nance Jr., a first-round pick in 2025, and a first-round pick in 2027. It's not a lot.
Not a lot at all. And I know that right now it's the worst-kept secret across the NBA. Brandon Ingram from the Pelicans is available. They're shopping him left and right. They're trying to find a trade partner with him. But I was just talking with Michael back here. Maybe he's actually not on the market for the right price, Brandon Ingram. And maybe the Pelicans hold on to him, hold on to somebody like DeJounte Murray, and then finally deal CJ McCollum. I mean, no knock to CJ, but that's probably the guy who's just not really fitting on this team moving forward.
By the way, the Hawks reportedly are also getting Dyson Daniels in the trade. That is, again, per The Athletic. So Dyson Daniels last season averaged, like, what, 6 points a game. So not much.
Yeah, and he's a younger guy who maybe you build, and he's probably the DeAndre Hunter replacement with the Atlanta Hawks, maybe the backup to Risha Shea at that four position. I could see that for sure. And then also with Trae Young, like, does he go to the Lakers now? Does Trae Young become a top suitor for Los Angeles to pair him up with LeBron? I don't really see that to be the case, and maybe they just move forward with Trae Young and everybody else on the Hawks.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll trade them both. I almost feel like the Hawks probably thought they'll deal one or the other, and they decided to go with DeJounte Murray and then keep Trae Young. It almost seems like Trae Young was drafted by them. He was kind of the face of the franchise a couple of years ago, and maybe the Hawks just don't want to part ways so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, they drafted him ahead of Luka, so you gotta double down on this somehow. And I think trading him away, especially if his value is plummeting, which a lot of people are thinking right now in trade rumors, that Trae Young does not have a great trade value to his name, then yeah, I guess you keep him. You sell jerseys with Trae Young, you try to run it back, be competitive as you can, and then move forward. I've heard that, you know, behind closed doors, Trae Young has requested a trade, and he wants to be with a contending team. I don't know if that's going to materialize, Steve. I feel like Atlanta can continuously sell jerseys with Trae Young.
Yep.
And build with Risha Shea, you know, moving forward.
How about the Mavericks trading Tim Hardaway Jr. to the Detroit Pistons today for Quentin Grimes, shedding that salary and giving them a little more flexibility? And, you know, Hardaway, who had a good run in Dallas, let's not sugarcoat this. He was productive for the Mavs, but now they've essentially exiled him to one of the worst teams in the league.
Right. I mean, is this going to be a buyout? Probably not. I mean, unfortunately, he'll probably put up good stats on this really bad team here in Detroit, and, you know, just help him out where they can. For the Mavs, though, getting Quentin Grimes back, look, you watch this playoff run. You saw Tim Hardaway Jr., and the thing that you saw with him is he has a ceiling, and once you hit that ceiling, he's unplayable in the finals as it stands right now. Maybe with somebody like Quentin Grimes, not only do you get the salary relief, but you also get a young product that you can maybe mold into a nice piece like a Hardy, who comes off the bench for Dallas currently. So I like the move for Dallas, and for Detroit, you got to pay somebody. No one else is going to sign with you in free agency. Why not pay it to a guy who's going to at least score some points?
Meanwhile, Tim Hardaway Jr. has been pretty well-traveled in his NBA career. He's made two stops with the Knicks. They drafted him, and then they took him back a couple of years after Atlanta. But he had a really nice run in Dallas, six seasons with the Dallas Mavericks. So that is the longest stop in his career. And for his career, he averages 14 points a game. So he's you know what? He's stayed healthy, and he's been a nice pro. Is he his dad? No. He's not built like his dad. He doesn't have anywhere near his dad's game. But he's really, tell you what he has done, he's made a fortune. I mean, unlike his father, who played many years earlier and never really was able to reap the benefits of these contracts like now, Tim Hardaway Jr. has made a ton of money during his career.
Not to mention, he's been part of a lot of trade rumors recently with the Mavs. Like, every offseason, you're wondering, are they going to shed his salary? Are they going to continue to pay him? Do they want him on this team? So it felt like an eventual breakup that finally happened right here. They traded him away to Detroit, and there were a lot of suitors out there, reportedly, according to Woj. But Detroit was the one who was willing to, A, throw in that salary relief, and then, B, throw in another asset that the Mavs can probably use eventually with Quentin Grimes. You talk about well-traveled. He's a young guy. He's already been with the Knicks, the Pistons, and now here with the Mavs. So let's see how that works for Quentin Grimes over in Dallas.
Yeah, that is going to be a good storyline to talk about. You're right. That was part of that Porzingis deal. I think Hardaway was part of the Porzingis trade, wasn't he?
He was. He definitely was part of that Porzingis deal. Another thing to mention, the Mavs, they really want to re-sign Derek Jones Jr. He was the nice surprise to them. That's the free agent priority signing, and it wasn't, let's keep Tim Hardaway Jr. It was like, how can we expand him and, you know, get rid of his salary?
How about Emmanuel Quickley getting a $175 million deal over 5 years from the Toronto Raptors? He was another player that was traded part of the R.J. Barrett deal when the Knicks were able to get OG Anunoby, who they just broke the bank for over $200 million on that extension. But if you think about it, you're going to give OG Anunoby $200 million, and people are upset about that. Again, I am blown away by the fact that the Raptors just paid $35 million a year for 5 years to give to Emmanuel Quickley.
Somebody who's so unproven, right? I mean, like, come on. With the Knicks, he was all right. Like, yeah. he was all right coming off the bench. You got excited about the upside that he would have. Only 25 years old. All that is fine, but we kind of know what he is. And I feel like for the upside, it's not really worth it. But maybe this is where the Raptors are headed. They just broke the bank to pay Scottie Barnes. You talk about unproven right there. At least give me one more year with both Scottie Barnes and Emmanuel Quickley before I pay them what the Raptors just paid him right here. I don't see how these assets or these contracts are tradable down the line. And I really don't know what Toronto's doing right here.
No, I'll say this. I'm looking at the numbers. He averaged 18.5 points a game with the Raptors.
Well, for a bad team, right. Yeah.
Almost seven assists and five rebounds, and maybe they look at him as, like you said, a cornerstone player on a bad franchise. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay somebody, right? You have to fill your salary cap at some level, so this is just the guy.
But at the same time, you'll never be able to move a player like this because nobody is ever going to want to take $35 million over the next 5 years for Emmanuel Quickley.
And then they also picked up the $23 million on Bruce Brown's expiring deal or the option on his deal. Like, what are they doing? Like, they're just going to be the worst team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Tank for Cooper Flagg, and I just hate this setup right here for Toronto.
All right, 20 in front of six. The sports talk continues. We got plenty more to talk about as we wrap up hour number two. And then, still to come, leading off our final hour with story time. Tim Haggerty will get it going in about 20 minutes with a great story that'll take us into tonight's Chihuahuas baseball game. When we come back, we'll find out what Michael Plundo and Alberto Arueta have planned for this weekend. This is a segment worthy of these two individuals. We'll tell about it next as we continue 600 ESPN El Paso. Can you hear on Sports Talk? This is interesting. I want to get to the plans for this weekend for both Michael Plundo and Alberto Arueta, but how about what the Lake County Captains are doing? The high affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians. Did you hear about this?
No.
They unveiled a new seating option for fans who want to sit behind home plate without going too far for a bathroom break. As part of their partnership with Roto-Rooter, the team has revealed Roto-Rooter Toilet Row. The Captains' commodes are positioned right behind home plate, in which they've described as groundbreaking in minor league baseball. It's a first. The team emphasized that with the 8 seats that are super comfortable, elegantly designed, while offering unparalleled views of the action. There is actually, check this out, guys. This is amazing. And look at this, Alberto. There's actually, here it is. a seat that is simply a toilet seat. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think? Is that is that something where you could actually go watch the game, and if you need to, actually use it during the game? How about that?
So people are really going to be taking full number twos in front of everybody like that?
I mean, it could be done. Look at it. But you know what?
That's what I'm doing. I'm looking and I'm like, that is not
right. But I don't see toilet paper unless it's a bidet.
That's what it looks like. It might have a bidet setup, maybe.
It could be bidets. It is possible.
More friendly and for the environment.
Adrian, are you looking at this?
Yeah, this is crazy, man. I can't believe this is the only
case. I wouldn't even go number one.
By the way, Roto-Rooter Toilet Row will also come with service and attention from Horacio, the team's dedicated bathroom attendant, who will ensure that your needs are met with mouthwash, combs, and gum, keeping you fresh throughout the game. And they are also going to have a Roto-Rooter Plunger Challenge, where two brave souls will battle it out each game to see who can expertly launch and stick a plunger onto Roto-Rooter's target. Winners score not just bragging rights, but a prime spot in the coveted Roto-Rooter Toilet Row.
Yeah, I don't know. I would definitely not partake. I don't mind taking a walk to the bathroom.
What about you, Michael?
I'm with Alberto. I think I'm just going to pass on that. I'm good.
Adrian, would you drop a deuce behind home plate while watching a minor league baseball game? What do you think?
Who's going to say yes to this? I really want to know who actually wants these tickets, Steve. I like the setup. I mean, they look like nice toilets that they designed, but I don't want to sit on any of this kind of stuff. No way.
This is a beautiful plan. I love the way they've done this, actually. I think it's brilliant. I really do. So I'm looking behind the toilet seats.
That's my favorite part.
Oh yeah, look,
you even have paper holder.
Yeah, for like magazines. Look at this. Nice. You got all sorts of word jumbles and newspapers, everything. They've done a good job. Good for them. Good for Lake County. Good for Roto-Rooter. Very nice. It's minor league baseball at its finest. All right, weekend plans. Alberto, what do you have going on? In the microphone, please.
I'm going to check out Bravos versus Deportivo Cali tomorrow. I'm excited for that.
Nice. You're going to FC Bravos.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. That'll be fun. Is it an exhibition match?
Yes, it's an exhibition. It's the last exhibition. And then get the overnight. And then eventually it'll be Monday.
Awesome.
Just like that.
I love that. Good for you. What about you, Michael? What do you think?
So my schedule is kind of crazy. Monday through Friday, I do insurance sales at Bundleby Insurance Agency from 8 to 3. And then once that's done, I head straight over here with you guys Monday through Friday, 4 to whenever, depending on when the Chihuahuas play at 6:30, 7, you know, time is dependent on that. And then on the weekends, I help out at a family friend's car wash on Fort Bliss from 9 to 4.
Oh, you're busy. You had a busy weekend, sounds like. A lot going on.
Yeah, I've been at this for about a couple weeks now, close to a month. So, the grind is real, and we're going to keep working.
All right. Well, you do that. That way you don't have to worry about this promotion with the Lake County captain sitting on a toilet seat to watch a baseball game.
Yeah, I'll be good. I'll be, occupied washing cars and taking trash out, so I don't think I'll be thinking about that.
Adrian, I was looking at the Twitter post on this from the Lake County Captains, and the first response is from Dude Wipes, and it says, "Wipes are on the way." And then all of a sudden, the reaction from Lake County on their official Twitter handle is, "Want a collab?" I love it. It's so funny.
Man, everybody's hopping on board.
And why not? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? All right. Well, listen. Gentlemen, enjoy the ballpark tonight. Represent us well. Don't do anything crazy. And we'll get a full report from you on Monday, okay?
Yes, sir.
Have fun. Enjoy the weekend.
We'll have a good time.
Thank you. When we return, story time with Hags. Wrap us up next as we continue 600 ESPN El Paso.